like those Marines we talked about who hacked their own version of Marine Doom, Corey Archangel is also into customizing games, but he's not a soldier. He's a video artist. His installation called Super Mario Clouds, based on the Super Mario Brothers game, was a big hit when it debuted at the Whitney Museum of American Art a few years back. Rebecca Cascade wanted to know why Archangel is so obsessed with those games of his childhood.
In the Nintendo game Super Mario Brothers, a fat plumber named Mario sets out on a dangerous quest to free Princess Toadstool. Hopping from one level to the next, Mario meets enemy creatures at every turn. He combats them with super mushrooms and fireballs, or by jumping on their heads. As a video game, Super Mario Brothers is considered a classic, a little more than just that, a video game classic. But Corey Archangel saw it as a point of departure.
Everybody knows who Mario is or what he looks like. Or if you don't know who he is or what he looks like, at least you understand what he is, you know? And so that's enough to go on, really. You know what I mean?
Archangel removed everything from the original, except the white clouds and the blue background. Now it's called Super Mario Clouds. It's just a tranquil blue sky and puffy clouds floating across a large screen projection. The effect is surprisingly impressionistic. Super Mario Clouds was made more than a decade after Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers went out of production. But arcane systems like these are where Archangel likes to operate.
I mean, I guess I'm happy if I make something that anybody could understand, even if they're not a computer nerd or whatever. And so if it strives for accessibility.
For all the time Archangel spends with video games, he doesn't actually play them. He doesn't even like video games.
My parents stopped buying us video games right after the Atari era, so I never had a Nintendo. When I got older, I just never played them. Until this day, I still don't like them. It tests my patience too much.
But Archangel's parents did buy him a home computer. He learned to program it and became a bit of a hacker. Later on, he started experimenting with sound chips from those early machines. Archangel was also shooting video with an old camera, but he didn't know what to do with them.
I don't know. Eventually, I started making strange videos using computer hacking or using these old systems or programming these old systems. And so eventually, it just kind of happened by accident. And I went to this one gallery called Moving Image Gallery, and they had a video game night. So they ended up showing my videos.
Video games are made to be interactive, but Archangel does not make interactive artwork. He frustrates the ability to play what was made to be played. For example, the incredibly fast game Tetris, where you have to neatly stack an endless stream of falling blocks, became Archangel's agonizing, super slow Tetris.
I just made it where the blocks take hours to fall. It's completely unplayable. I mean, if you want to, you could play it, but it just would take so long it would drive you crazy. And that was a really fun hack because I only had to switch a few ones and zeros at the end of the cartridge. Like, what are the smallest thing you could change to a game and make it cool, you know, or not cool?
For his latest project, Archangel again turned to Super Mario Brothers. He made a 10-minute movie using the game's characters to create a narrative within the game's virtual world.
Okay, well, Super Mario Movie is a prequel to Mario Brothers. And it's just about how Mario's world is falling apart, kind of like Mad Max. Like, you know, like all of his blocks are miscolored and jumbled up, and he has to figure out what the problem is to return his world to normal. The script is very bizarre, so it's hard to say how that actually happened, but it has something to do with him going to a rave.
In Nintendo's Super Mario, Mario's world is the game, and only the game. But in Archangel's movie, the game doesn't exist. There is no quest to free the princess. It's just the characters and the setting that remain. That leaves Archangel free to imagine the inner life of our task-oriented hero. And Archangel seems to imagine that Mario really likes hallucinogens.
It's really kind of quite beautiful looking, and I don't think people have become so accustomed to seeing this type of computer and video game system kind of freak out the way that I program it to do, like all the colors and all the... So I purposely make it look like it never did back when Nintendo was making games. Hopefully people will be, you know, kind of pleased by it and be like, wow, well, it looks really, really cool. You know, why didn't they do that back in the day?
For Studio 360, this is Rebecca Cascade.
You can see some images from Super Mario Clouds on our website, studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson, looking at the culture of video games with Clive Thompson. Clive, do you know Archangel's work?
Yeah, I think it's amazing stuff. He's really realized that there's something going on with or those early video games as pop iconography. That's some of the most powerful stuff we have. I mean, the early games, because they were so, you know, stripped down, they have this real look of almost like a sort of a, like a hallucinogenic fever dream. I mean, it's like something that, you know, Dolly might have messed around with, or Picasso. And they sort of embody these anxieties of the early computer age. You're always trying to save stuff. You know, which is, you know, very familiar anxiety from just working on a computer. You're trying to navigate complex file systems. You're trying to find things that seem to be lost. And it's almost like, the, you know, the Freudian reading of all these fears we had as computers started to move into our lives got projected out in these games. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of artists now returning to these things. All of our hopes and fears, you know, for the internet age, for the computer age. You know, you see things like that wonderful novel Lucky Wander Boy, which is all about a guy trying to find this lost game and its meaning to himself. You see things like Corey's work, where he's sort of taking this, you know, dreamlike space and trying to see, you know, what's really inside it and make us look at it in new ways, using deliberately sort of lo-fi graphics to sort of emulate that stuff. And I think it's because they really do see this stuff as a subconscious of the computer age.
And I guess artists in all eras of all types have fetishized their own childhood.
Yeah, there's definitely a sense of, you know, like, wow, this cool stuff we did when we were 16. You know, nostalgia is a powerful force in culture.
Clive Thompson, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks.
Clive Thompson writes about science and technology for Wired and the New York Times Magazine, and he blogs at collisiondetection.net.